Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat about God's never-ending faithfulness. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Are you one of those people? You know, one that all the stuff happens to? I've always been kind of like a Lucille Ball.
I'm probably really dating myself, but Lucy was a redhead
who had a comedy show back in the 60s, and she simply couldn't stay out of trouble, and it was hilarious. I never really won anything, except for third grade, and I won a Daughters of American Revolution poster contest. The speaker was broken in my homeroom, so I didn't get to hear that I'd won. About a week later, my cousin told me that I'd won, but by then the magic just wasn't the same. When I went to the office, I probably missed out on the red poppy paper flower that was the grand prize. On my first day of junior high school, I couldn't find my classes, and when I did, I couldn't find any of my friends in them. By lunchtime, I couldn't find my lunch tickets either, so I had to go hungry. The only thing I excitedly remember finding that day was my daddy parked in his pickup truck, waiting to pick me up. I ran down the hill trying to get away from that terrible day, and I fell in the ditch and skinned both my knees, right there in front of God and everybody. Way to go, Lucy. At 18, the first day of my first job as a Girl Friday at Sears Truck Tires was exciting, too. For all of you youngsters who don't know what a Girl Friday is, it's a clerk who does a little bit of everything. On my way from Greenville Tech to Haywood Road, I stopped for some gas. Naturally, I picked a pump that was demon-possessed and it sprayed gas all over my clothes. I had to go to McAllister Square and buy new clothes to wear to work. Boy, McAllister Square has been closed for years. I'm really dating myself now. I looked okay that day, but I stunk to the high heavens. I'm glad I worked around truck tires at least, and not at the perfume counter. Okay, looking back, those events were hilarious, and each contributed to the person I am today. I admit that now, but when I was going through them, horrified would not have been a strong enough word to describe them. While I didn't realize it then, those stories were just the beginning of the amazing, wild, crazy book that God was writing called My Life. Nothing from my youth contributed a tidbit to my life compared to what happened to me when I was 9 years old, when I asked Jesus to be my personal Lord and Savior. It is, hands down, the best thing I ever did. I wished I'd always lived like I believed that. I'm convinced that our lives are not made up of random stories just thrown together. God, in His infinite wisdom, creativity, and brilliance, is writing our lives chapter by chapter, growing us, leading us, pointing us to His purpose for our lives. Like a master craftsman, He keeps adjusting and readjusting us and our paths in ways all geared toward this special plan for us. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." If we make bad choices, miss His will for us, or go in another direction than what He had originally planned, I believe that everything that happens is geared toward getting us back on the path to His plan and purpose for us. Romans 8:28 affirms this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Some of us get what He's done for us and doing for us quickly. Some of us get it slowly. That was me. Sadly, some of us never get it. Out of His great love for us, He keeps trying. I have been through quite a few trials in my life. More times than I can say, I have asked Him to show me what He is trying to teach me. Without fail, His answer is simple. He wants me to trust Him. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That's James 1:2-4. So there is a time I'm going to be perfect. Well, it's not now. As the children's song says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. How loving and patient he must be, 'cause he's still working on me. My life, wow, what a roller coaster it's been. I'm sure you can say the same thing. I shared a 10,000-foot view of my story in episode 1. Go back and listen if you would like. I'm not going to rehash that here. Rather, today we are going to talk about my cancer journey. Cancer was not a stranger to me. My mom had breast cancer and colon cancer, and I walked beside her in that journey for 3 years. She would get so discouraged with being sick, chemo, radiation, surgeries. Then we would go back to the doctor, and if he could just give her a little glimmer of hope, she could ride that for miles on end. She would go into the doctor's office in tears and come out with a little lift in her step, and soon she would be singing as she went back to working in her flowers. Psalm 34:4-7 says, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. In the darkest nights, God's light shines brightest. The Lord healed my mother when he took her home in March of 2008 at the age of 70. 3 years later, cancer walked into my life. It was my turn. In May of 2011, Scott and I went on a cruise to Bermuda. What a gift from God. We had a wonderful time of renewing our marriage, falling more in love, a second honeymoon. We came home on our 20th anniversary on May 25th, 2011. On May 27th, I had a mammogram scheduled. I picked up the phone to cancel it because things were so busy at work from my being away when I returned. Something stopped me from canceling. I know now that that was God. On June 5th, 2011, as I drove to work for my son's 5th grade awards ceremony, my phone rang. It was the breast imaging center, and something didn't look right on the mammogram. They wanted me to come back in. I remember so vividly calling Scott and saying, "Honey, I just can't take one more thing." He said, "I know you can't." But God had different plans. On June 8th, I learned that I had breast cancer. Nothing blunts the sound when you first hear that C word. It's scary. You don't know if you're going to live or die. The nurse told me that the cancer had been brewing for a long time, as it takes 10 years for a 1-centimeter breast cancer tumor to form, and mine was a little bit larger than that, 1.8 centimeters. 1 out of 8 American women get breast cancer, so you might think, well, that's terrible, but not uncommon. What made it harder was that my mom had had breast cancer, and I had lost her to cancer. I now shared this disease with her, but I couldn't share it with her, if you know what I mean. Then, because of our family history, it was determined that I would need to have both breasts removed. Oh, how I struggled with that decision. I was so torn between choosing a lumpectomy and mastectomies. I was touched as a wife, as a mother, as a woman, in my most tender places. My world came crashing down around me. How could I endure these storms? I couldn't even describe how overwhelmed I was. Then God did something amazing in a way that only He can. The cancer helped me realize what's most important in my life: my walk with God, my health, my family, and my friends. On July 5th of 2011, I had double mastectomies and had expanders inserted. After 9 hours of surgery, I came out on the other side in a lot of pain. But they had discovered the cancer had not spread to my lymph nodes, so over the next days it unfolded that I didn't need chemo or radiation, praise God. What they did discover with the surgery was that I had a precursor to cancer in my left breast to watch, except without the mastectomies I wouldn't have known to be watching. Praise God, He knew that and He led me in the right way. The doctor was injecting saline to grow the expanders quickly, and I was in agony. We did surgery again to put in silicone implants on August 23rd. He told me it would feel better in recovery than before I went to the hospital that morning. My little 1.5-hour surgery turned into 5 hours. Lots of scar tissue, scraping, problems. When I woke up, I didn't feel better. I was bound tightly with ACE bandages. Days later, when I went back and he removed the dressing, the pain, the spasms, the swelling, all of it returned. Then I developed what I call my metal jacket, which ran around my chest and back and bound me tightly. I started physical therapy. It helped a little with the tightness in my back. The Lord held me tenderly and safely in His arms while He calmed the raging waters. Peace is not the absence of the storm. It's the presence of Jesus in your storms. I prayed, went for second opinions, and searched for answers. Because I could get no relief from the pain, I found doctors in Charleston who could reconstruct my breast from natural tissue from my abdomen. They told me they had encountered many women whose bodies had rejected silicone and expanders, and this natural technique should solve any problems I had because it was all my own tissue. So we made plans for yet another surgery. He said after 4 weeks, most women were lots better. Another God thing happened. Before I could have that final surgery, my friend Lisa Johnson, a cancer nurse, had come to my house and had helped me dress my mastectomy incisions. She noticed a mole on my back that she thought might be a little suspicious. She suggested that I get it checked out after my breast stuff settled down. Late in October, I decided I'm going to get that thing off before my surgery. So I went to the dermatologist and he biopsied it. He called me back in a few days and told me it was melanoma. What? Really? Melanoma. What now, Lord? So I had to go have that cut out of my back. It was a 4-inch incision that was pretty deep right on my lower spine. The labs came back 0.6 centimeters, so stage 1. Praise God. Again, God used something bad to bring about something good. I would never have discovered my melanoma without breast cancer, mastectomies, and my friend Lisa, all part of God's plan. So on November 16th, I went to Charleston for an MRA scan and for them to mark me to do surgery on November 17th. They drew a diamond from hip to hip on me that was 7 inches wide in the middle. Wow, that was intimidating. Years ago, I heard a story about a rich man who had his employee up for a visit. The rich man bent over and picked up a penny. The young employee asked him, "Why would you do that with all your wealth?" He replied, "That's God reminding me with 'In God We Trust,' that He's there and I should trust Him. So who am I not to accept such a gift?" Since that time, I've always tried to pick up pennies and thank God for His reminder. I've had a number of friends who've lost loved ones who tell me that pennies are special. They'll find pennies in special places that bring back fond memories of their lost loved ones to help them feel their presence. When I went for the MRA that day, I was in that tunnel on my back with my arms over my head, which I really could do neither, and Shadow Feet came on by Brooke Fraser. What a blessing. As I listened to the words play over and over, "You make all things new." When I got back to the little 8x8 dressing room, there was a shiny penny waiting for me right in the middle of the floor. I know it was not there before. I picked it up and felt God's closeness and was reminded that my mom had known this journey too. It was overwhelming to feel that touch. The next morning, as we picked up the suitcase to head to the hospital, another shiny penny was there under it. I thought, that must be the same one I found yesterday. I must have dropped it. It was 5 a.m. in the morning, and I had to wait until I could get to the elevator lining to see the penny date. So I carried it to the elevator, and it was a 2000 penny. The other had been 1993. So I knew it was a fresh hug, a blessing for a new day. What an awesome Savior and loving Lord we have. I so needed that and had a hallelujah time right there in the elevator. It was a long day. Scott saw me at 7 o'clock that night for the first time after heading back for surgery. Surgery was over 7 hours. Again, a lot of scar tissue, scraping, problems in there to be fixed. My pastor and his wife were there for me and Scott that day, and I'll never forget it. We've been so blessed by our friends and loved ones who've helped carry us through all of life's journeys. Prayers, cards, notes, hugs, meals, visits, they all have meant so much to us. I know those things mean a lot to you when you're going through hard times. I left the hospital 5 days later, standing at 5'1" at my tallest, and it took me 6 weeks to get back to 5'5". The 4 weeks that was to be my recovery turned into 3 painful, agonizing months. I had some level of pain 24 hours a day for over 6 months and spent most of those nights in my recliner because I couldn't stand my bed, and my Scott had been on the couch right there beside me in the den. I was supposed to have a final reconstruction after 3 months, as the first was just to move tissue and fat from the abdomen to the breast area to get it to live. Then they would go back and remove dead tissue and do shaping. 13 years later now, I've still not been able to have that surgery because I was told not to have more surgery except to save my life. I was diagnosed with reflex sympathetic dystrophy, RSD. It's a malfunction of the sympathetic nervous system that causes chronic pain. They think I'd had it since the first surgery. Me and God are still in that fight today. Through all this, my God has been so faithful to me. I worked, ran my business, went to physical therapy 3 times a week, tried to be a mom and wife, and God helped me continue with the ministry. That's all Him. Please don't think there is anything in me that could do that. I would lay in bed in the morning thinking, how can I get up and go do what I have to do today? That night I would praise my big God for what He did together with me that day because it was so far beyond my ability. It's amazing what you can do with His help if you trust Him and step forward just one step, even when you don't feel you can. Now 13 years have passed, and praise God, I am still cancer-free. Another thing I learned is that Jesus really loves me. In my body changes, I felt ugly, half a woman, damaged, but He lavished His love on me and told me I am His beautiful, priceless daughter. I am so unworthy of His grace, His mercy, this lavish love, but it's remarkable and I thank Him for it. The world and the devil spend all their time telling you He doesn't love you. That's the biggest lie ever told. I know that God is faithful, and He does not allow the devil to do anything that He does not first pass through him. I believe that through suffering, He allows us to get to know Him better, and He wants to make us more like Him. It doesn't stop there. He wants to take us through to understand His resurrection, to full restoration. I am claiming that and believing Him for full and complete restoration in my body. After 13 years, I'm still seeking it, but I know He's able. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I have so often been amazed by my big, awesome God, but I've learned to never be surprised. I've also learned that life is hard for us with God's help. It sure is impossible without Him. Isn't life a long time to go without God's help? But even worse, isn't eternity a long time to be wrong and be without Him? I challenge you to pray this prayer, or one similar of surrender, and just watch the power of God move in your life and carry you when you can't carry yourself. He does it for me all the time. Dear Lord, thank You for loving me and for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins to save me. Because He died for me, the least I can do is live for You. I surrender everything I am and everything I have to You. I've learned that the devil is not going anywhere, and Lord, I'm not either until You call me home. So when he throws something at me, I commit to throw something back at him by serving You. Where service to You is concerned, I refuse to sit down, shut up, or quit serving You no matter what. As long as I have eyes, I will look to You for direction, forgiveness, and provision. As long as I have ears, I will listen for Your voice and do whatever You ask me to. As long as I can speak, I will praise You and tell others about You. As long as I can walk, I will walk with You. As long as I will live my life for You. Please come take these ashes away and replace them with Your beauty and allow others to see in me only Your beautiful flower as it unfolds in my life, a tree of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of Your splendor. Amen.
In 2020, Grace in the Wilderness began a support group for cancer survivors and caregivers called Hope Rising. Please email me at SharonHawkins@WildernessGrace.org to connect to our private group today. May God bless those who have fought cancer or who are currently fighting cancer. Never forget, cancer begins with a little C. Christ begins with big C.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Please like and subscribe to support the growth of the ministry and so you don't miss a single episode. Check out SharonHawkins.net for show notes or to contact me about speaking engagements or find out more information about how to support Grace in the Wilderness Ministries. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. See you here next week.